Well, again, Christian, greetings to you. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading from the Bible. We're in the book of Mark. Today is chapter 12. There's 44 verses in this chapter, and we've got a couple of letters here. And before we even get into that chapter 12, I'm going to do something that I've been wanting to do for days, but we just keep running out of time, and that is the message of character. All right, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this service. Lord, with your outward anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit that we need to be in the ministry. We know that we're saved, we're born again of the Spirit. We have the indwelling Spirit. We have you, Christ, with the Father by the Spirit, indwelling, dwelling inside of us. But we also, for the ministry, need to be as you were baptized in the water. The Spirit of the living God, your Father, came down upon you in the shape of a dove and baptized you with the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit sent you in, the Holy Spirit sent you into the ministry, out into the wilderness to be tempted, tested by Satan to see what kind of mettle you had. Well, you had all the right things. You were the only real thing, the real, very Messiah. And Lord, we know that by your example, we're to follow your example. He says, come and follow me, meaning your example. We need to be walking by the Spirit. We need the Father with you, with the Father by the Spirit living in us, so that you, the whole Godhead bodily, can be doing your work in and through us. Because if we don't, then it's not the work of the Lord. Only if you are doing the work in and through us, in our human bodies, in our spirits, is it the work of the Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you anoint this chapter and everything else, the letters, and part five of character, so that we can, so that it will work into the spirits, the souls. You want to work yourself into people. And the way that you work your way in us is that you are anointing us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're anointing your word. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that everyone, if they're going to be in the ministry, must have. So that people of the world and the church will be able to receive the inward anointing. Lord, pour out your outward anointing. Minister through me your word. Let it all be of you and nothing of myself, for the saving of souls and the edifying of the church, the building up of the body of Christ, in Jesus' name, your bride, in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Ken Kanata, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear One in Christ, I receive your message in Telugu. Thank you for sending them to me. I read the Messiah and other messages. I was inspired after reading the soul-winning literature. I decided to serve the Lord through Olamo Christian Ministries, which is a wonderful international ministry. From today, I would like to publish and distribute all over South and North India all Tony Alamo's literature, including his booklet, The Messiah, in 6 languages.
Well, this is wonderful that we have somebody there that will actually publish it for us. It'll save us thousands and thousands, maybe millions of dollars, because we're shipping things over there. That'll save it. That's a lot of finances, and we'll be able to direct those finances other parts of the world. But India is a very big country. There's over 1 billion people there, and so, of course, we have other works there in India, many of them, hundreds of works there. And we will still have to ship unless this man will print for those works as well. Okay, then go ahead.
Publishing languages, Telugu, Kannada, Tamil, Malayalam, Oriya, and Hindi. Please pray for us. Please accept me as an associate minister of Olamo Christian Ministries. Please send me a booklet of the Messiah and other messages and literature in Telugu, Hindi language. I want all soul-winning messages written by World Pastor Tony Alamo in English. Please send me by mail, and gives his mailing address, your brother in Christ, Brother A. Srinivas, from Kankanada, Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, and where's the next letter from?
From Angola, Africa.
Right.
The grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ be given to you. Excellent Pastor Tony Alamo.
Now, grace, again, I want to tell everybody, because I keep saying that grace means power. By the power of God, by the grace of God, I can do all things. Amen?
Amen.
So grace, actually that word, if you're in wonderment of what it means by the power of God. So I thank and praise people for praying that God will give me His power, or His grace. Power is, I like that word better because it explains really what it is. Grace to me is like a ballet, gracefulness and all that kind of stuff. That just doesn't get it for me. I love the word power. Powerful. All right, then what? The power of God is with you. And I just thank you for praying that, brother. Okay, or sister. Then what?
Excellent Pastor Tony Alamo. The atmosphere befalls us today to write you this letter to show our most noble feelings from the knowledge that your ministry exists. And we want to thank our Lord Jesus Christ for giving you the message of His wrath and for the salvation of the lost souls in the world, which we found in the books, among which are the Messiah and the World Newsletters. We want you to know that the Messiah book is changing many lives here in Angola. I read your literature, The Signs of the Times. When I read your literature, in it you testified about your life, how you met the Lord Jesus, how you married your wife Susan, and how you started the Jesus movement.
How God started the Jesus movement through us, yes. I had no idea how to do that. It was the Lord. Then what?
I came across the words that Susan said to you when you bought the house in Malibu, California, when she pleaded with you not to buy it. Quote, Tony, people are dying by the thousands and they are lost. Please let's leave everything and go out and preach the gospel, unquote. I am hearing this same way in my ears like the prophet Isaiah saying, quote, who shall I send, unquote. My crew and I want to respond completely to this question for the nation of Angola. Dear Pastor Tony, we want to also start this Jesus movement here in Angola. Angola is a large country in Africa that is divided into 18 provinces. It is 1,246,700 square kilometers, and there are 14 million inhabitants here. There are many tribes, and every tribe has its own culture, language, and tradition. This is a country that has spent 27 years in a civil war, which just finished in 2002. The people are lukewarm towards the gospel, and they do not know God. They are living with killings, theft, rape, and drugs, not realizing the final end of all sinners. Through God's love, my crew and I, which is comprised of more than 25 servants in the work, have given ourselves to distribute your literature and Messiah book in every province, in hospitals, prisons, and from house to house, desiring to win lost souls. We need your support spiritually, materially, and financially. We had already requested 1,000 Messiah books in French and Portuguese, instruments and machinery to print the literature here in Angola. We already have an Alamo church here in Angola with more than 50 people in it. We need your response. Thank you and God bless you, Pastor Daniel Etienne.
Okay, well, the track room needs to write a letter to him and ask him, well, what would the printing machinery cost, and what's the cost of paper, and what's the cost of all these different things, so that we can determine whether we're going to do this or not, or we can put a plea out to the people in Radio Land. If you want to see the gospel preached throughout Angola, then dig in into your pockets and give until it hurts. Because, we are to be living sacrifices unto the Lord. Just giving a little tithe or throwing a quarter or a few dollars in, the Lord wants you to trust Him that He'll give you a hundredfold of whatever you give, especially when you're giving to His work. Now, when you give to, works that are not really preaching the truth, then I believe without a doubt that the reward will not be a good one. But you know, without a doubt, that this work is winning souls, and we're taking care of people. And we'll be very glad if you want to designate an offering to this church for those people in Angola for the printing, and we'll be glad to forward it right to them to make sure that the people in that area with all those different dialects are going to get the right messages. And we get it while we're still here on earth. once we die, we can't come back and do anything for the Lord. What we're going to do for the Lord, we have to do now. Because what we do in this world, and some people say, well, we don't have to do anything. We'll just get saved. Well, you're wrong. He says, I'll show you my faith. The James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so we can't do anything to get saved except the Lord. And the Lord is the gospel, the whole word of God. We accept that. And if you accept the whole word of God, then you're going to give. If you don't, you'll read the book of Malachi and you'll see that you're robbing God if you don't give. And if you don't care to win souls, then you are an unmerciful person in the eyes of God, and you will not reap mercy. He that sows mercy shall reap it. Those that sow no mercy shall receive no mercy at judgment. So, you know, we do that. If you're doing something like that, you're doing it to yourself. No one's doing it to you. You're just believing the word of God, that what he says he means and will come to pass. Just look at all the scriptures that talk about what's going to happen in the last days, and then look around you. You're living, the Bible says, all peace would be taken from off the earth. Don't you see that yet? If not, God will show you more disasters and more disease. Because there's no peace for the wicked. No peace at all. And there certainly is no mercy for them. You know, like when God opened the earth and swallowed a bunch of people into hell, I didn't see Moses or Joshua or anybody throwing ropes down there to pull them out of hell. If God's cursing somebody, let him be. Let them be. But the reason he's not showing them mercy is because we've preached the gospel to New Orleans, Houston. We keep going into those areas and all over the world, and they don't repent, and so you see famines, floods, tsunamis, hurricanes, twisters, cancer, leukemia, heart trouble, and a multitude of different flus that we hear is going to kill 150 million people, 15 million people. And the Lord himself states that he's going to send a big rock down from heaven, one of these big meteorites that's going to kill one-third of the people with plagues that are going to, not only the rock, but plagues that are going to destroy one-third of the people of the earth at one time. He also states that it's been assessed by scientists and geologists that if the meteorite as big as the Bible says is going to hit the ocean, that it'll cause tidal waves over 1,500 to 2,500, 3,500 feet high. That means that that will cover the mountains clear over to Arkansas. In other words, beachfront property will be around Texarkana, Arkansas, or Fort Smith, Arkansas. That's where we have property. And we have a lot of property there for souls that want to be saved and serve the Lord. Okay? So is that it on that?
Yes.
Okay, now, another thing, too, that I'd like to warn people, I'm not going to get into a big health thing. You see some of these people that have television programs having health experts on their programs, and they're telling you all sorts of things. Believe me, I've been in the health studio business off and on ever since I was 20 years old, and that's I'm 71 now, and I know far more than they do, but I didn't really know as much as I know now because the Lord tells me what to take. Now, if you want to take the Lord's advice, he said, don't eat beef. That's what he told me. And don't eat any dairy products. And I love cheese, and I love ice cream, and I love butter. I love that, but I can't have that anymore because the Lord told me not to. And then all of a sudden, here's all these reports coming out saying that these things are causing terrible diseases. And the people that don't eat that stuff don't get these diseases. And there's a book out that's entitled The China What Study? The China Study, and it was written by a doctor, what's his name?
Dr. T. Colin Campbell.
Okay, so like it was several years ago that the Lord told me not to do that, and that's maybe why I look so youthful at my age. A lot of people say I don't look a day over 40, some say 45, and I'm sure some would, if they wanted to get real honest, would say not a day over 50, but I don't eat dairy and I don't eat beef and or fat, because the Lord said, commands us not to eat fat, and he says, if you do, you're going to die. Well, all these people got heart disease and everything, and they wonder why. Why do we have these diseases? It must be that God doesn't like it. No, you're disobedient to God. He says, don't eat it, okay? Or else you'll die. Okay, Nummy? Does that make sense?
Yes.
I hate to name call them, but you got to be pretty numb if you don't believe God. Now, read a little bit of this, but just we're going to just read a hair of it, then we got to get right into part 5 here of character, and then, of course, chapter 12 of Mark. So go ahead, read just that. We're just going to read a little bit now. Now, be patient. Don't turn, switch your dial, your radio dial. Come on.
The science is clear. The results are unmistakable. Change your diet and dramatically reduce the risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. Respected nutrition and health researcher Dr. T. Colin Campbell reveals the truth behind special interest groups, government entities, and scientists that have taken Americans down a deadly path.
Yeah, did you know that like the dairy business has like lobbyists in Washington, D.C. in the beef industry to tell the people, don't stop people from eating this stuff. Don't let the news of this stuff get out, because the milk has got all kinds of bacteria and it clogs up and causes mucus and causes heart disease. It clogs you up, and some people can't even drink milk at all because they have to take special digestive aids in order to consume it, and it wears your body out. They got all those kinds of hormones and medicines in beef. A lot of beef has all kinds of diseases in it. They've got mad cow disease and cancer and all sorts of things. And how could you eat a dead cow, all right, or drink the milk out of a diseased cow, or eat something that we're the only people, the only class in the world that drinks milk from another, from an animal. We're not animals, we're people. Yeah, but I didn't know that. I love butter and I love cheese. But years ago, the Lord told me not to eat that stuff, and I love ice cream. You get right down to it, all it is flavored fat with sugar in it. And so, you know, and the French fries and the grease and everything. So that's why your children are catching all these diseases. But continue on a little bit here.
Even today, as the low-carb craze sweeps the nation, 2/3 of adults are still obese, and children are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, typically an adult disease, at an alarming rate.
And heart disease as well. A lot of kids with heart disease. And what else?
If we're eating healthier, why are Americans stricken with heart disease as much as we were 30 years ago? In the China study, T. Colin Campbell, Ph.D., details the connection between nutrition and heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. The report also examines the source of nutritional confusion produced by powerful lobbies, government entities, and opportunistic scientists. The New York Times has recognized the study, China-Oxford Cornell Diet and Health Project, as the Grand Prix of Epidemiology.
And Grand Prix, in case you don't know French, means the grand prize. Okay, go ahead.
And the most, quote, comprehensive large study ever undertaken of the relationship between diet and the risk of developing disease, unquote. Quote, after a long career in research and policy making, I have decided to step out of the system. I have decided to disclose why Americans are so confused, unquote, said Dr. Campbell. Quote, as a taxpayer who foots the bill for research and health policy in America, you deserve to know that many of the common notions you have been told about food, health, and disease are wrong. I propose to do nothing less than redefine what we think of as good nutrition.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is, you know, too much vitamin A will cause lung cancer. A lot of vitamins, you know, the Lord says to do all things in moderation. There are many vitamins that if you take an abundance of them, and believe me, I've been studying nutrition for over 50 years, and I'm not a nutritional doctor, but I know what made me the way I am now makes me feel good, and I know a lot of the stuff in the health food store is garbage. Look at their nutritional bars and stuff filled with sugar and all kinds of stuff. It's just not garbage. And there's many other things in there. And drinking juice, too much juice causes diabetes too. Yeah, like, I know the orange juice industry will probably crack down on me for saying this, but if you'll talk to the nutritionist for the Los Angeles Rams or real health conscious people, they'll tell you that people's the children's teeth are rotting and they're catching diabetes from too much sugar and eating so much potatoes. Potatoes has got more sugar in it than candy bars. And so, you know, there's just so many things that you don't know. And rather than go through this whole thing, let me just tell you where to get the book. You get it from Amazon.com, and the name of the book, again, is The China Study by Dr. who?
T. Colin Campbell.
T. Colin Campbell. Now, we got the book because I always love it when the Lord tells me something years in advance. I knew it before Mr. Campbell did, I'm sure. Because the Lord told me years ago not to do that. A lot of people in our church follow what the Lord tells me to do. They had asthma, and they don't have asthma anymore. And they don't, they're not clogged up with cheese. The Indians, right? You know, I was raised in Montana. And the Indians out there call cheese chocum tail. And booze, firewater, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, words of the wise should be sufficient. If you want to be healthy, you have to exercise also at least 15, 20 minutes, a half hour a day, and get not only with weights, but you got to do some cardiovascular, and that will end your, it should help a lot of lowering your blood sugar, and it'll make you, for sure, make you healthier. I think everybody knows that. Now, I'm not telling you anything new, but we're the ones that started the health studio business back in the 50s. We had the world's largest chain of health spas called the American Health Studios in Silhouette Figure Form. I started out as an instructor with the organization, built my way up to a studio manager, and then a district manager over Houston, Texas, where I had several studios there. And then I became the executive vice president of that and also Canadian Healthways Limited. And the same people that were in that business with me, Ray Wilson, he runs the, he's been a large, he had the Family Fitness Centers. He's the one that invented the, or created the life cycle, where you see him in all the gymnasiums. He sold it to Bally Gyms and also Charlie Tartella, who is a very good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, Charlie's flying into town today to meet with me. And Herb Calhoun and Bob Del Monteek, all these people are involved one way or another. Or they, Ray Wilson is now with Quiznos. They're opening large chains of health spas now, Quiznos restaurants, and he's the director of all that for him. So I know the health studio, but we used to sponsor the Mr. America contest, Mr. Universe contest, and I know what all the different champions eat, and the proof of what I'm saying is in their bodies. You can see that their bodies are more dynamic looking, more powerful looking than anyone else's. And so you just you know, you go by the, some of these people that are preaching about health products and things like that are so emaciated looking, I don't understand how anyone could possibly even listen to them, you know. Buggy whip arms and stack of dime necks, and you know, their chest is like the chest of a sparrow. We used to kind of say things like that in the gyms, but that is just, they look like they're all, their faces are all caved in. They need to go, these supposed to be health people need to go on, come and listen to me in that regard as well, because I know about those things. All right, now, where are we at? We're going to, we're done with the letters now, and so let's start out with character, part 5, before we get into chapter 12 of Mark. So now you can order the book over at Amazon.com, and if you're interested, I don't own any part of it. There's nothing for me. How much did the book cost? You remember?
I think it was $14.95.
$14.95. Is the book pretty good?
Very good.
It is? You read it?
Parts of it.
Parts of it? Mm-hmm. Does it confirm what the Lord told me?
Absolutely. with massive amounts of studies, a lot of documentation, the worst thing is the meat and the dairy products.
That's exactly what the Lord told me. Amen?
Amen.
And that was years ago. Well, I'm glad I listened to him. You know, every time I used to eat a steak, and I love steak more than I think anybody, I used to eat it three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Give me a steak and a baked potato with lots of butter on it. And salt and pepper. I just loved it. I drenched my corn in butter and tons, just lots of salt. And then give me some ice cream or some kind of, I love that, what do they call it, that you like with the dessert? It's they make it out of custard. What is it?
Flan.
I could never pronounce that. I don't know what it is. Phlegm? All right, whatever. Okay, let's get into character part five. We're just trying to inform you, all right, the right thing. And I've got quite a bit of experience, and the people, my associates, have the top experience in the whole world. Nobody knows health better than we do. And we're actually involved now with dance sports. They're doing ballroom dancing for sport, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is involved with that. You may not like Arnold. You may not think he's too bright, but he is involved in sport. And I want to get into his character at this time. We don't have enough time for that or any of these other people, but we're just telling you the right thing to do. All right, and then go ahead.
The Gospel of Luke reveals the disposition of a perfect God-man. Somebody that helped people and healed them and didn't want to just be some kind of boss and wasn't concerned about being a boss but was concerned about being used by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, that's the kind of character he was. And so, you know, we shouldn't be trying to be boss, but when I know what the Lord says, and I know that he is the boss, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead bodily, and when I like to run... let the Lord run this church according to his word. And if people don't want to be here at this church and live according to his word, where there are literally thousands of churches, maybe millions for all I know, around the world, that you can attend them. You don't have to attend my church. You can go to them. And if you want to call me wanting to run things according to God's word a cult, well, then go right on. But you're going to have to face him and call him a cult too, because and I don't think he's going to like that very much. If you've got that kind of, if you think that's real smart to do, you go right ahead. Because you're a free moral agent, and I'm not going to stop you. But I'm just saying that I wouldn't want to call God a cult or his church here on earth. Because I would be afraid to run into him. And there's no way that you're going to escape God. You're going to run into him, whether you like it or not. It could be tonight, could be this afternoon, this morning, whenever you're listening to this tape. You have no guarantee that you're going to live another minute. And so if I were you, I'd change my ways to the ways of the Lord. All right, then what?
The Gospel of Mark unveils this type of character of the servant of God. Mark shows us on several occasions that the Lord Jesus did not even have time to eat. So you don't see it written in the book of Luke, John, or Matthew. So Matthew shows the Lord is the King of the heavens. Whether the king ate or did not eat is unimportant to him. This matter was recorded only by Mark.
Right, because all that mattered to him is that he was doing his Father's will, that he was ministering himself into people's souls, showing them the actual character of God. Because God has a certain character, and there's no way that you can fit into him or him into you unless you adopt the same character as he has. It's just like a cookie mold. You have to fit the mold in order to get in. Like, for instance, if a door is a certain area you want to fit into it, you have to fit into his character. He doesn't want a foreign character. He doesn't want you in the kingdom of heaven. He wants you to die out in this world of yourself and take on his complete personality, his character, and so that you can be part of him in this world and in the world to come. Then go ahead.
In the Gospel of Mark, these are some of the words that are written, quote, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still night, he went out and went away to a desolate place."
Right. See, he wasn't sleeping all day long, get up around 12 noon and just sit around the house or out in the wilderness there and meditate. He got busy right away. He got up very early in the morning while it's still dark outside, and he'd go to work. Because on this side of eternity, we're supposed to work. Rest comes when we enter the kingdom of heaven. We're there for eternal rest and peace and happiness and joy. Then what else?
"And there he prayed," unquote. The Lord was extremely busy serving others, so busy that he did not care to eat. A lot of people may have thought that he was a fanatic. When he saw the crowd, he did not have the heart to send them away, the Bible says, because he feared that they would faint on the way.
Because they'd listened to him for 3 days preaching the gospel. And they didn't even know they were hungry until after he finished, because they were being fed the manna from the kingdom of heaven, the word of God, the Spirit. Then what?
"So he gave them bread and fish to satisfy them. He even asked the disciples to gather the leftovers. Then after that, he sent the people away. He himself left. It's very significant that the Holy Spirit recorded these matters. The book of Mark tells us that God had found a perfect person on the earth whose character was fit for God's service. In other words, this gospel demonstrates to us the character of the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of God. Because he had such a compassion, such a character, he was very useful in the hand of God in his service to God and to man."
All right. Now, that was character part 5. Okay, go ahead. Let's finish the commentary of chapter 11.
This is 11, verse 12 through 19. "If the fig tree did not produce fruit as it was designed to do, and it's supposed to when it saw the Messiah coming, it should have sprouted forth. Then it had no real reason to be alive, to exist."
If you're not doing something for the Lord, what are you here for? You're cumbering the earth. You're using God's food, water, and resources here on earth just to vegetate, to do nothing. So he wants you up early in the morning. He wants you to rise and shine. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get going. All right, then go ahead.
"If the temple did not produce true worship, or fruit, or win souls, or worship the Lord, or pray to him, but only receive tithes and offerings, which is ill-gotten gain for the money changers, then the temple had to be judged and cleansed as well."
And eventually be destroyed. The temple of God was... Now we are the temple of God, and God destroys the temple of God, i.e. you and I, if we are not allowing him to live and work in your body, God's temple. Jesus said, "In my Father's house," or our many mansions, he lives in many human beings, to give us the encouragement that we can do all things in Christ Jesus. If we let God live in and through us, we can do the same things. That is, he can do the same things in us as he did in the body, the singular body of Jesus. Now, the body of Jesus is thousands or even millions of us. Okay, now what?
"So also it is when we become Christians. If our life in us, when the Lord enters into us, does not gradually grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, it is not bearing the fruit of God. It doesn't have God's behavior in it, the new behavior patterns of the Lord. Then it must be either hewn down or repent and receive life so that it can bring forth life. The tree brings forth fruit, and the fruit the people eat, they can have, enjoy it for food. But the people have to water the tree and give the tree nourishment in order for the tree to bear forth fruit to give them life."
Right, see, life is like a circle. If you minister to the apple tree, the orange tree, or grapefruit, or pomegranate tree, whatever, then it'll minister to you. If you just plant something and just let it go, and you don't pay any attention to it, you don't nourish it with the proper plant food or tree food, and if you don't prune it in the fall or the winter when it goes down, then the fruit it won't grow good fruit. But if you do, then it'll minister to abundance for you, and you'll be able to live. So you water the tree feeds you. You feed the animals, the chickens, or whatever that the Lord allows you to eat nowadays. And then it lays eggs and makes, you can make all kinds of dishes with chicken and fish. But if you don't minister to nature, which God created nature, there's just nobody like Mother Nature. There's no person like that. So these disasters that are happening are from God. God said so, and you have to believe his word to be saved. Okay, so, but this is talking about the character of the way that God set things up. You have to plant, or you won't reap anything. So you have, the soil takes care of the seed if you water it, and if you fertilize it. If you don't, well then it won't, the earth will not minister back to you. That's just the way it is, kids, children, amen?
Amen.
So you minister to the people, and you show yourself to be friendly, and you'll have friends. A person that wants to have friends must show themselves to be friendly. That's what the Bible says, amen?
Amen.
If you want to be bitter and an evil person, or you want to be stupid, nobody wants to be around an evil person or a stupid person. Let's say, you mean to say that you're not going to minister? Oh, I minister to a lot of miserable people and people that would not be deemed by God, his word, to be anything other than stupid or evil, in hopes that they'll grasp onto one of these messages and repent and become something in the Lord. I just minister the word, and the word judges them, not me. All right, so if the shoe fits, put it on. Then what?
If we only go through the motions of salvation, then our faith has no substance, and our attempts to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus will never happen because we're just pretending. 11 verse 20 through 25. God wants us to pray for his will to be done in our life. He wants us to pray this for fruitfulness so that his kingdom can grow and work.
Now, Jesus had to pray. Yes, for sure you do. Jesus instructs us, pray always. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. Amen?
Amen.
How can we pray without ceasing? I pray always. Well, you pray as much as you can. Let's put it that way, all right? You better pray. Some people don't pray at all. Praying is easy. You just say, Father, Lord, bless this day. Direct me in this day, because I don't know where I'm going, how to come in or go out. I don't even know if I'm supposed to be on the streets today. I don't know if I'm supposed to drive the car today. I don't know if I'm supposed to go to the market. You want me to go to the market, but which one do you want me to go to? The one down here? No, if you go down there, you're going to get killed. It's dangerous to not be praying to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, if I'm praying to the Lord, Lord, is everything safe? No, things are not safe. Why, Lord? Well, you're in New Orleans, and I'm about ready to curse the place. Warn the people and get out of there right now, just like he told Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Lord, is this really you? You really are going to curse this city? And yes, this is the Lord. I'm definitely going to do it. Now, if you want to be spared, get out of here and get your children out of here. And if you don't, well, shame on you. Shame on you. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. And a lot of times, earthquakes happen. I was told one time I was in Los Angeles to get out of town. Hurry up. So we were in this hotel before we had a place to stay here. And, of course, I've lived in L.A. most of my life. But, so I said, everybody, let's get going, quick. So we threw everything in the van, and we took off. And all of a sudden, we were in Tucson, Arizona, and what was it? The earthquake hit, right?
Yeah.
And the very place where we lived was a lot of damage there, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the valley.
Right in the valley is where it hit strong. So it's good. You know, I mean, I can't. It's just unfathomable how important it is for you to pray. and to know whether to witness to somebody. And then if the Lord says, yes, witness to them, then what do you want me to say? What are you going to say to me? Just, oh, I'll open my mouth, Lord, and you talk through me. And that's how souls get saved. You'll never win a soul if you're not praying. All right, then what?
It is God's will to remove our mountains, and he wants to remove our mountains of resisting him, or that we deny him from letting him live in us and letting ourselves die out,
our old life. Yeah, that's the worst kind of mountain, is that you won't let the Lord enter you, and you won't pray to him, you don't trust him, you don't believe him, but you believe the media. Oh, they say that less than 1% of the people believe the media. If you're in that minority, you're really a special person, right? A real, not very smart person. Then go ahead.
God has the power to do miracles, but he won't do them if we doubt him. By faith we're saved, by doubt we're damned. The God of the kingdom and of the growth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of the impossible, the supernatural, the power. If we have a desire for God to work in and through us, which is a miracle, and for us to be healed, body, spirit, and soul, in our life, we must pray always and believe that he, without a doubt, will do everything that he promises that he will do, because he is the truth. We need to surrender ourselves completely unto his life, because we're helpless, and we need to put our life into the life of God.
Right, because God's life is eternal and our life is temporal. If we allow the Lord to mingle his life into ours, then we're eternal and we're in heaven. But if you just want to live your life, you're going to die one of these days, and then you're going to face the Lord, and you know what happens after that. Okay, then what?
He will then walk in us and with us as we face each new step in the growth process, growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, that was the conclusion of the commentary on chapter 11 of Mark, and now here's the 12th chapter of Mark with its 44 verses.
The story of the evil farmer, translation verse 1. Then Jesus began telling them stories, quote.
Now, husbandman, you know what a husband means? A husband means farmer. So when you get married, the husband is the farmer. He's going to... and you're the ground, and he's going to sow seed into you to have children. Husbandman means farmer. And the farmer has to take care of the land. The farmer has to take care of his wife. And then the crop that comes from the wife is the babies. You have to take care of them, or you're worse than an infidel. What farmer is there that's a successful farmer that doesn't take care of their land? What farmer is there that doesn't plant seed? Amen?
Amen.
So that's why they call the male the husband, because that's what he is a, if you want to call him, a baby farmer. You're going to have children, and you're going to support them, and you're going to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's a good husband man, farmer, a good farmer. Well, then go ahead.
Quote, a man planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country.
Yeah, to tenant husbandmen, because you know that husband is or husbandman is also a farmer that raises cattle or raises fruit or vegetables or whatever. All right, and then if you're raising children, you get married, you're a husband. That's what you do also. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 2.
Because the Lord says, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. But the devil condemns you for being married today. He doesn't want you to be a husband. He wants you to go have sex with one partner after, commit adultery or fornication, and doesn't want you to be a good farmer, a good husband. Isn't that something for you to know? Then what?
At grape picking time, he sent one of his servants to collect his share of the crop. Verse 3. But the farmers grabbed the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. Verse 4. The owner then sent another servant, but they beat him over the head and treated him shamefully. Verse 5. The next servant he sent was killed.
See, the Lord likens us as clusters of grapes. When we're winning souls, we're winning children unto the Lord. That's why he calls us farmers. We're sowing his seed, which is the word of God, into people, and they become like clusters of grapes. And the angels in the last come and reap those clusters of grapes that we fathered these people by the word of God. They're not born of fornication, but they're born by the word of God. We're born of the Spirit. Now, the word is spirit, and it's life. And so we need to tie all these loose ends together and know what the Bible's really saying. Amen. We Jews wrote the Bible. So, you know, don't tell us what it says. Ask us. You know, we know. We know. All right, go ahead. Then what?
Others who were sent were either beaten or killed. Verse 6, until there was only one left, his son, whom he loved dearly. The owner finally sent him, thinking, quote, surely they will respect my son, unquote. Verse 7, but the farmers said to one another, quote, here comes the heir to this estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 8, so they grabbed him and murdered him and threw his body out of the vineyard.
Now, that's what these false prophets are doing. They say, let's, we have a husbandman here, a farmer that's winning all these souls for the Lord. Let's, we see that, you know, God is blessing them. Let's come in with, we can get more souls into our church if we tell them false things, that God is just love, and that he wants us to have a good time, and all these things, not to pick up a cross and follow him, or not to die out, but we can win all kinds of souls and make us all kinds of money. They're in the money game. They're not good farmers. They're not sowing the good seed, and they're not reaping good souls. All they're doing is sowing corruption, and they're reaping corrupted people. Amen?
Amen.
But a good husband, a good farmer, is sowing good seed, and he reaps good fruit, good people, good solid citizens in the gospel field. And that's what I like to do, is I sow the true word of God. And there's a lot of people that are doing the same thing now. I'm not, thank God, I'm not the only one. That Sue and I are not the only one. There's other people from all over the world that are receiving the truth, and they're taking care of business for the Lord. They're sowing the good seed, and they're reaping good souls. There's a lot of people that hear the good word, and they just get worse and worse. Some people are unteachable. They're unruly. They will not be ruled by the word of God. And I have them right in my church just like you do. They just cannot be ruled. They're unruly, stubborn, wicked people. But I always keep praying, God, you know, get a hold of them. Put the fear of the Lord on them, because they do not fear God. And that's the whole duty of man, fear God and keep his commandments. That's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay, then what else? Old Testament.
Verse 9. What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do? Jesus asked. Quote, I'll tell you. He will come and kill them all and lease the vineyard to others.
Yeah, the chief farmer, the chief husbandman, the one that reaps the souls, the one that really is able to multiply and be fruitful, he closed some people, women's wombs, and then they prayed to him, and he'd open their wombs so they could have children. Other females, he closes their wombs up so they can't have children. And that's what the Lord does. If you really are sincere before him, he'll open up opportunities for you to win souls so that you can not meet him empty-handed in the kingdom of heaven. You'll be able to bring in millions of souls. Some of you might just bring in one or two or ten, but whatever you're able to do, you should do that, or you'll be, you know, there won't be a good reward. Then what?
Verse 10. Didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. Verse 11. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see, unquote. Verse 12. The Jewish leaders wanted to arrest him for using this illustration because they realized he was pointing at them. They were the wicked farmers in his story, but they were afraid to touch him because of the crowds, so they left him and went away.
Right, the crowds believe them, just like the crowds believe me today. The only one that's really against is the Antichrist government and the people that believe them. So, but the masses of people really believe Pastor Tony Alamo. They really believe me. I mean, I see them. They come up on the streets and they tell our brothers and sisters that are witnessing on the streets, they come and say, man, we believe, we love this literature. we can see that this man is really telling the truth. Amen. So the people love the Lord, and they love me because it's not me, it's the Lord in me, because they hear the truth of him emanating from me. And it's not me, it's the Lord in me. All right, then what?
Taxes for Caesar, verse 13. The leaders sent some Pharisees, supporters of Herod, to try to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Verse 14, quote, "Teacher," these men said, "we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You sincerely teach the way of God like us. Is it right to pay taxes to the Roman government, in other words, Caesar, or is it not?" Verse 15, "Should we pay them or should we not?" Unquote. Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, quote, "Whom are you trying to fool with your trick questions? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you." Unquote. Verse 16, when they handed it to him, he asked, quote, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" Unquote. Quote, "Caesar's," they replied. Verse 17, quote, "Well then," Jesus said, "give to Caesar what belongs to him. But everything that belongs to God must be given to God."
All right, well, what does the Bible say that belongs to God? He wants all your heart, all of it, A-L-L, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Well, if everything of you belongs to God, then what belongs to Caesar? But nevertheless, the Lord says, give him the money, pay the taxes, because that's all he has. They're going to be before me soon. Because life is very short. It's like a blade of grass that comes up and is burnt by the sun. It's like a shadow. Very shadowy. Very grassy. And we're just here for a moment. And we're gone. So, you just give them the money. And God will give them their reward. All right, then what?
This reply completely amazed them. Discussion about resurrection, verse 18. Then the Sadducees stepped forward, a group of Jews who say there is no resurrection after death. They posed this question, verse 19. Quote, "Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will be the brother's heir." Verse 20. "Well, there were seven brothers. The oldest of them married and then died without children." Verse 21. "So the second brother married the widow, but soon he too died and left no male child. Then the next brother married her and died without children." Verse 22. "This continued until all the brothers had married her and died, and still there were no children. Last of all, the woman died as well." Verse 23. "So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection?"
Now, these Sadducees, I didn't believe that there's going to be a resurrection anyway, but they're just coming to him to try to get him to say something that is wrong. Okay, so go ahead.
"For all seven were married to her," unquote. Verse 24. Jesus replied, quote, "Your problem is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God." Verse 25. "For when the dead rise, they won't be married. They will be like the angels in heaven." Verse 26.
Yeah. And you know, angels are, it's impossible for them to have children. That's why this doctrine that some of these, the Moody Bible Institute and some of these, I forget what, Zondervan is what it was, they have that angels came down and had sex with women, and that's where giants came from. That's ridiculous, because it says the sons of men, or of God, married mingled in with the son, the daughters of men. The sons of God are just people that believe God. They weren't angels. Never has God called any angel a son. All right? So Zondervan is a cult teaching false doctrine. And this is as if angels have uncomely parts. They don't have sexual organs at all. There's no reproduction in the kingdom of heaven. Of angels. Angels never had sexual relationships with the women of men, but the sons of God are forbidden to marry or mingle themselves with the unsaved, the children of men, or the daughters of men. So that's false doctrine. when we leave this earth, we'll not reproduce anymore. There's no reproduction up there. There's no reproduction of organs. All the uncomely parts come off. Oh, just think. Oh, you'll say, well, man, we still want to have sex. I know the Spirit of God is so powerful and beautiful up there that the sensation of being in the kingdom of heaven is hundreds and trillions, billions and trillions of times more gratifying than sex ever you ever thought to be. And there's no work to it. It's like everything is like rest in the kingdom of heaven. And there's such a feeling of gratification that is, you'd never even think of such a low sensation as sex there. Here, you know, it seems to be the most important thing to everybody is sex. But over there in the kingdom of heaven, there is no such thing. Because it's not necessary. There's no reproduction there. If we were to reproduce there might be some really bad children born up there, and then we'd have the whole mess all over again of sin and Satan and all these sort of things. But there's no sin in the kingdom of heaven, and there's no sex, because the power of the Holy Spirit there is so powerful, the magnificent, happy, full of joy, all these things, that you don't need it. And I see that our time is up right now. And so you've heard the 11th chapter of Mark, the commentary on it, the continuation, and then a little bit past the 12th, half of the 12th chapter. We'll continue this in chapter 12 tomorrow. And if we have time, we'll get into the Exodus, chapter 40, which is a learn how to possess the Lord, to possess the kingdom of heaven. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. Read your word. Read the word of God and keep your eyes stayed upon him. The Lord loves you if you love him and keep his commandments. If you don't, he hates you. All right? That's a good thought to take with you, because it's the truth. Until then, though, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.